Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Research has indicated that therapeutic lying is practiced by around 96% of staff involved in the care of people with dementia. But a new Irish study has questioned whether it's always in the best interests of the patient. For more on this, I'm joined by Kate Irving, Professor of Clinical Nursing at the School of Nursing in Dublin City University, who conducted the latest study. Kate, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
I believe you have a personal interest in this.
I do, yeah. I care for my mother who has dementia. And I guess I just found it really worrying amongst professionals how often I heard this term therapeutic lying slipping into our vernacular. And then, so with a student of mine and another colleague, Katrina and Shirley, we decided we would look into the literature and see what was being said about this term therapeutic lying, which had popped up out of nowhere, really, you know. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to see what was being said about it, because, you know, my nursing experience told me that very often it doesn't work, that the person with dementia can see through the lie very often, that, and when they do, that's kind of catastrophic for the trust, which is the basis of all therapeutic relationships. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to see, well, what is being written, and is this in keeping with respect and dignity?
Okay, so we don't want to cause distress to anyone who's caring for somebody with dementia, for example, because very often people believe they're doing the right thing. Is that right? And just to be clear, therapeutic lying is, if somebody says, let's visit X relative who may have passed away, you might say, oh, mm-hmm. Well, let's visit them later on. Is that it?
That's the kind of thing, yeah. Does it give a distraction, distract somebody away from what they're becoming fixated on, just to avoid answering the question? That can be one kind. It's like a sliding scale of lies that you can tell from an outright kind of lie to something that's close to the truth to something that's just a distraction. But I guess the point of the study is, I'm not saying it's wrong to lie ever. You know, sometimes it's right to lie, and sometimes it's right to be economical with the truth, and sometimes it's right to be truthful. But what is the fact is, sometimes when you're truthful with somebody about their past or about what's happened that might be upsetting, you do have to sit and be present with that person and hold a space for their pain, which is really, really difficult to do. And particularly as a family carer, which I can relate to because I am one, to hold somebody's pain that you love and to sit there and be present for that pain. Mm-hmm. And so there's this complete incentive to just avoid that at all costs. So we'll lie. And then calling it therapeutic is to professionalize the language around it. And for me, the lie isn't the thing that's therapeutic. It's the relationship you have with somebody that allows you to know, what do they need from me in this moment? Do they need me to be honest? Do they need me to be economical with the truth? Do they need me to tell a big pork pie? What is it that's required? And all of those things could be true. So I'm not for a moment saying people are lying and it's dreadful. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying professionalizing the language around lying is a really, really base way to go, because it's never the lie that's therapeutic. It is always the relationship. And, but you know, you'd the accept, focus though, should be there.
You'd accept, Kate, that very often the principal carers may be the spouse or a son or daughter who may have responsibilities other than caring as well. And the nature of caring for dementia, as you know, more than most, it's very challenging. It's very challenging. It's very repetitive.
It's hugely challenging. And that's part of what makes it justifiable.
The question I was going to put is, sometimes people, just to get over that little bit of agitation or to avoid it, they feel maybe it's the best course of action.
And that might be the case, but we need to be honest about that. And if that's the reason we're lying, then that's the reason we're lying, because I'm burnt. I've been up at 3 o'clock in the morning with my mum wanting to go out and look for my dad, who died 7 years ago. You know, I have been that carer who has said, I think he's gone to do surgery, because he used to be a surgeon, and I think he'll be back from the hospital soon. That's a desperate measure at 3 o'clock in the morning. But let's be honest about that. Is that the best thing to do? Maybe in that moment, yeah. But it's not the best thing I can do with very poor resources at 3 o'clock in the morning when I have to get up and go do a day's work. So it's we need to be honest about why we're lying. It could be for me. And if I'm lying for me because I got nothing else at this moment, then that's fine too. But, it's not therapeutic.
Yeah, and I understand the point you're making. I just wonder if we take the example you've just given there, though, of your dad having passed away, your mum asking about him. If you, every time she asks, keep telling her that he has passed away, telling her the truth, that he's not around anymore, are you not causing her grief every time, causing her to relive effectively a fresh grief time and time and time again?
Not really, no. I mean, so that's what most nurses will tell you. But my experience from 28 years of nursing people with dementia and then caring for my own family members, my granddad and now my mum, is that actually I just know there are some times when I can't tell the truth and so I don't tell the truth. And there are some other times when I do tell the truth and it is sad and she does grieve. But that's her grief and she should be allowed to grieve. And there are other times when she's asked for him and I've said, oh, we haven't seen Dad for a really long time. And can you remember that we had a funeral? And she says, oh, God, that's right. Yeah, I remember. And that's actually a relief to me because I don't have to go and look after him now because she was feeling guilty that she wasn't looking after him. So it just needs to be explored every single time. So I would talk around it. I wouldn't go straight in with a lie. I would talk around what she's feeling about my dad, what's going on for her. And then I would realise whether she needs me to lie or whether she needs me to back off with that. And you could, you know, okay, I've been studying this for a long time, so I have some skills that the average carer doesn't have, and I do recognise that. But that's okay. I would say to carers, if you've got nothing better than to lie, then don't upset somebody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, don't call it therapeutic.
Yeah, okay. I'm just conscious of the very many people out there, right, who may be caring for people with dementia and are just doing their best. And as you've acknowledged, you have experience of it and it is so difficult and so wearing. And so often the people who are doing it have lots of other responsibilities as well as this very, very difficult responsibility. And, you know, you don't want to make them feel worse for doing something that they're doing to cope. I'm sure that's not what you're trying to do, but I don't like, what is your message to those people?
My message to those people is talk about it. Talk about it with your other family members. Think about, is that the best thing that you can do? Because at the end of the day, you have to survive that caring relationship. You need support. You need to be able to discuss that with people. Because if you just bury, because you feel bad when you tell a lie. It's just a natural thing. All feel bad.
But Kate, can I say this respectfully? People, and I know I'm saying this to someone who knows well, but I have some experience of this as well myself. People are exhausted. The carers are simply exhausted, and I'm not being in any way confrontational here, but my question.
I understand, and I've been there. I honestly have been there where I'm exhausted and I have nothing left to do, and I will tell a lie. And I know that I'm doing it for that reason sometimes, but sometimes I have more energy, and sometimes I will explore around with what's upsetting mum, and that's what I would do as working as a nurse. And it is different for family carers. But really what the study is about is more about professional carers and the legitimization of the term therapeutic lying, which now has crept into home care staff and nursing home staff. And, you know, is this thing. So I was standing in a nursing home not very long ago, and there was a lady there who was looking to go out. She wouldn't need to go home, but she was obviously a resident in there. And the nurse said, oh yeah, I'll ring you a taxi now. And she picked up the phone. She said, yeah, I need a taxi for Phyllis or whoever she was. Yeah. And the Phyllis turned around to me and said, there's nobody on the end of that phone. I know, you know. Yeah. So, you know, that's a therapeutic lie.
Yeah.
According to the staff, that is not therapeutic because Phyllis's anxiety goes nowhere in that situation. And it's the same when you're a family carer. You can lie, you can maybe settle things for a short time, but the anxiety will pop up again. And what I'm calling for is better support for carers so that they can have somebody to talk to who has skills in this. We spend thousands of European research money, thousands and millions on looking for a cure, which is probably a fairly fruitless task for the we might find something to delay the course of the disease. Mm-hmm. But But we spend thousands, and we don't spend any money at all on looking at how can we support carers to do this better, both formal carers and informal carers. We need better support because they're good people doing good things.
Yeah, and I think
I'm not here to say that they're doing bad things.
I totally accept that. I think you're raising really, really valid questions and echoing some of what the European Ombudsman, Emily O'Reilly, was saying about caring roles and extra support and resources for those people. And then I think the questions you're raising can be tackled in a better way, I think, once the resources are in place. It's a fascinating piece of research. Kate Irving, Professor of Clinical Nursing at the School of Nursing in DCU. A pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed.